The plan today with me is to speak about the importance of a specific part of the Christian walk and the Christian reality, especially how it's important to us and to our salvation as well. We'll be referring to a lot of scripture for support, and throughout the sermon we'll be drawing out some conclusions as well on why this is important to us. Before we carry on, let's just say a brief prayer and then we progress into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word, to learn from you and what you have in store for us. As we explore more into your word, we ask that you open our minds to receive what you want us to receive today, and when we apply it into our lives as well. Thank you for asking in the name of Christ to say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So the joy and hope of every practicing Christian in the journey with Christ is to be identified or recognized by God as his child, whether son or daughter. The hope is the same whether you are a practicing Christian who is studying, overcoming the lust of the flesh, and modeling your life after Christ through the transformative power of the Holy Spirit, or like the thief on the cross beside Jesus, those who have not developed a relationship with Christ, but have, in their final moments, realized their error and accepted the free gifts of grace by God. Have you ever wondered how God identifies his people? Do we have any examples from the Bible of God identifying a group of people as his? And if we do, how did he do it? And what can we learn from that? As we study the Bible, we find a specific book that tells us about certain people that overcame, if you like, that are identified or marked by God. Obviously, I'm referring to the book of Revelation. Now, in this sermon, we will not spend our time looking at these people per se, but we're going to be looking at getting a better understanding of what this mark is and how it relates to us in our Christian journey. So, if you would join me, we can look at Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. Okay, Revelation 22, verse 3 to 4. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And the first key point of today's sermon, his servants shall serve him. Whose servant shall serve him? God's servant shall serve him. 4. And they shall see his face. And, second key point, his name shall be in their foreheads. Okay, whose name shall be in their foreheads? God's name shall be in their foreheads. Now, when the Bible normally refers to something being in the forehead, it normally relates to being in the mind, being in the thoughts, not a literal mark placed on the face of the individual. So, his name, the name of God, shall be in the thoughts and the mind of those that shall serve him. Looking at context, what we find is these people do not start to have the name of God, and this is the context here referring to the New Jerusalem. Okay, so this is after the resurrection. Okay, these people do not start to have the name of God then. The passage is only highlighting that they do have the name. Okay, so they already had the name, it's only highlighting this. Okay, the mark that is placed on these people is the name of God. At this point, we have to ask the question, obviously, what is the name of God? Spoiler alert, it's not Morgan Freeman. Okay? Building on this, let us look at Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. Exodus 33, verses 18 and 19. And he said, this is Moses now speaking, and the context here is, this is Moses going to take the Ten Commandments for the second time after he had broken it the first time. Okay, and he said, this is Moses saying, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Okay, he's saying to God. And God said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. We'll stop there. Okay? So we see here that God is about to give us the answer to our question, which is he's telling Moses, I am going to tell you what my name is. If we go down to Exodus 34, let's see what happens when the goodness finally passes in front of Moses. So Exodus 34, verses 5 to 6. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, we're about to get our answer now, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Obviously it carries on to the next verse, but we're going to stop there for now. Here we find that God has not just declared his name, the Lord, and in this case, this is also the covenant name of the God of Israel, Yahweh, if you like, to Moses. What we find is that his name is also extended to describing what he is like. If you like, his attributes, okay? Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. In other words, his character, all right? The same description is found in other parts of the Bible, such as Psalm 86 and Psalm 145. The name of God can therefore be said to be his character. Okay, so our first conclusion we're coming to, based on what we've seen so far, is true Christians at the second coming of Jesus will be identified as having the character of God. That is the identification of true Christians according to what we've seen so far. What does this mean? Let's look at an example. As Adventists, we say we observe the dietary laws of clean and unclean meats. Okay? So if I were to go to a supermarket and say I was looking for 100% grass-fed British beef, apologies to the vegetarians, okay? And I find the mincemeat that says 100% grass-fed British beef. This must mean that the contents of that package, okay, can be proven to meet that criteria of 100% British beef. Okay? If, however, I find that what has been marked as 100% grass-fed British beef has some horse meat in it, for example, okay, I will most certainly cry foul and accuse the seller of false packaging. Hashtag the horse meat scandal. Okay? The same applies to the Christian being identified with the character of God. For a Christian, this is our second conclusion now, for a Christian to be identified by God as his, they will have to develop and demonstrate the character of God in their lives. Okay? For a Christian to be identified as God as his, they will have to develop and demonstrate the character of God in their lives to show they meet the criteria. If you think about it, how can we enjoy eternity with God if we do not like or demonstrate the traits of his character? Are we going to be tolerating God? You say, oh, he's too long-suffering. I can't be this long-suffering with this guy, and I've got to be with him forever. Okay? This is why the Christians who will be at the second coming will have the character of God already. They do not get it then. They already have it and have been able to demonstrate it. Okay? Now, going forward, I want to spend the rest of the sermon looking at one of these characters in particular. So we haven't got the time for all of them, but they're all equally important. But today we're only going to focus on one, which is long-suffering. What's the word for long-suffering? In other translations of the Bible, you would have slow to anger, for example. Okay? The word long-suffering or slow to anger is translated from the Hebrew root word anaf. Which can be interpreted as breathe hard. The idea behind it being, if someone is angry, the heart rate increases and they tend to breathe harder. Okay, so if God is slow to anger, you can say God is slow to breathe hard. Okay, he is long-suffering. Okay, but how does this apply to me today? Because we obviously have this dilemma here, which is, I'm expected to develop and demonstrate this character, but how can I demonstrate the character I haven't developed? And how can I develop a character if I can't demonstrate it? It's normally a problem we have, you know, with young people going into the world, into the job market, for example, where, you know, to get a job, I need experience. And to get experience, I need a job. So I'm in this big controversy, and I end up as a whining session. So let's look at what the New Testament starts to tell us a bit more about the character of God and how God helps us with this dilemma. Okay, we'll look at Romans 15 now. Romans 15, 5 is where we're going to be taking our next point from. Romans 15, 5. Are we all there? Awake, O shame. I've got to demonstrate my character right now. All good? Good stuff. Okay, so I'm reading from the NIV this time. May the God, so this is Paul writing, may the God who does what?
Gives.
May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give who? You. The same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. Now, the word that has been rendered here as endurance, or in the King James Version, but as patience, it says the God of patience, is the same. Okay, funny thing, it's the same root word as what's been translated as long-suffering when describing the character of God. So the question I've got to you, if it says here that Christ Jesus had, did Jesus have the patience of God? Yes. And from what we see that Paul says here, God will give you and I the patience of God. Okay? To have the same attitude of mind towards each other. Okay, so it's not patience as described by the world, but patience of God. Okay? Well, here we also find an additional meaning to this character of God, which is endurance. So, okay, slow to anger, long suffering, we get the next one, endurance. Okay? Enduring. Can it really be that the Christian is expected to develop and demonstrate the patience of God? Is that really what the Bible is telling us? Such a high standard for the Christian. I believe from what we've seen so far, the answer is yes. And it is in this lifetime, we'll see that going forward. The Bible does not only say we should, but shows us why it is essential for our lives. Let's look at some of the applications of these. Okay, we'll look at five. Point number one, it is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And I guess anyone wonders, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Okay? The fruits of the Spirit are the evidence of our repentance, the evidence of our conversion from the old self to the new self. So this is the evidence that God should be able to see in us. Okay? Obviously, I'm pulling this out of Galatians 5:22. We need to turn to that. I'll read it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and it carries on. We'll stop there. Okay? Now, the same, every illustration of long-suffering and patience is from the same root word as what has been used to describe the character of God. Okay? So this is the same long-suffering that we see in the character of God. Okay? What I'd like us to look at together is Colossians 3:12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. On this idea of the evidence of your repentance. We all good? Okay. Can someone read that for us?
Since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves, you must clothe yourselves with a tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience.
Okay. Since God has chosen you, the King James renders it, as the elect of God, the chosen people of God. Okay, put on. Obviously, Paul here in the context of this is talking about letting go of the old man and putting on the new man. So this is what comes with the new man. It's part of the package. You don't pick and choose what comes part of the package. It's all inclusive. Okay? So this is part of the package. You put on, as the chosen ones of God, bowels of mercies. Same thing we just talked about God in Exodus. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, and patience. Second application of this, it is important for Christian growth. Patience is important for bearing fruit, which is saying the Christian growth. No need to turn to this, but I'll be reading from Luke 8:15. Jesus telling us about the parable of the seeds and what ground they fall on. He says, "But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." We bring forth fruit with patience. We grow as Christians with patience. Alright, it's important for Christian growth. The third application of this is, it is a display of love for each other. Okay, that's one of the commandments we have, obviously, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, let me turn to this one again. But I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll all know this. Love is patience. Love is kind. Okay, so how can I say I love someone if I am not patient with them? And now, don't forget, this is not patience as described by the world. This is godly patience. Okay, this is godly patience. How God has been patient with me. Be patient with the next man. Okay? Next we're looking at, it's going to sustain us through trials and persecutions. It sustains us through trials and persecutions. Matthew 10:22, let's turn to that. You're going to be turning to the next one. Okay? Jesus says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures," keyword here, "endures, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." Okay, so how shall we be saved? By enduring till the end. So if we have no patience, godly patience, can we get to the end? We will not get to the end. That's what the Bible is telling us at the moment. Okay? And lastly, the fifth point in this will be, if we all turn together to Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36. Okay, maybe Steve can read for us this time.
Patience, endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that God has promised.
When do we need patient endurance?
Now.
We do not get it. It doesn't appear when Jesus comes. It's something that we need today. It's something that we need now. Okay? The King James Version renders the same verse as, "You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." The promise of what? Of eternal life. Okay? So, another application of patience, as we've just seen, it is required to receive the promise of eternal life. We just saw in Matthew 10:22, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Okay? So, the heart of the Christian in these last days should be filled with the patience of God. Search your hearts and ask the question, do I demonstrate godly patience with people? Do I demonstrate godly patience with people? With my friends, with my brothers and sisters, with my parents. Okay, let's look at an example of this in evangelism, for example. We're all called to evangelize. Okay? How often we might fall victim to being impatient with people who are coming to grips with what the Bible says. We often forget that at some point we didn't know what we know today about what God says. Okay? But God was patient with us. But in ministering to other people, we might feel like they are pushing us to the limits. Okay? That they are pushing our temperance. Okay? The way God was and still is with me. We normally tend to forget how God was with us when we didn't know anything about him, or we didn't know the same truth that we know about him as we do today. Okay. Secondly, do I demonstrate patience in challenging circumstances? Okay. So the patience of God applies in these two applications, with people and with challenging circumstances, not just with people. Okay? The patience that God will fulfill His promises. The patience of Jesus Christ. Alright? Let us ask the question, if I am in a difficult situation, has God put me there for a reason? Okay? If God gives patience to us, and if that is His will, has God put me in that situation? We read from the book of James and 2 Peter that we need trials. We need it, because from trials we develop self-control. And when we develop self-control, we develop patience. So if I say, if I go on my knees and I say, God, may your will be done in my life. And God says, okay, my will is that you have my character. So I'll put you in this situation. I'm going to give you patience, because that's what Paul says. God will give us patience. We now have to demonstrate and develop that patience to model our lives after the life of Jesus, after the life of God. So should we not rejoice in trials, in temptation, in difficult situations? Because this is God proving us. So, because He wants us to be with Him at the second coming. So He wants us to develop the patience that He has. So we should rejoice in trials and difficult situations. Okay? But if you look at it the other way as well, okay? Does God demonstrate His patience with us every day? Okay, so why do we think we should not have the same patience of God as well in our everyday lives? If God is patient with us every day, okay, we put God in challenging situations, okay, we test His patience, okay, but then when other things test our patience, we want the solution right now. We don't want to be as patient as God is with us. Look in the challenging situation, we have Abraham. Okay, look at Abraham, the story of Abraham and his promise of the child. He had to wait 25 years in that situation. How often we might fall victim, okay, to not executing the will of God, but our will in such challenging situations. Like Abraham did. He waited, and he said, you know what? I think this is not right. And I don't think this is the will of God. He can't be making me wait so long to demonstrate patience. Okay? But the important part about patience is, patience is not about waiting. That's not what patience is. Patience is about what you do while you wait. That is what patience is. So if you're waiting on God for something, or you're in a challenging situation, and you are, you know, so upset all the time, and you're not fully dependent on God, are you demonstrating godly patience? As the mind is renewed in our walk with God, we should humbly submit our request for this character in our conversations with our Heavenly Father to sustain our walk. Okay? Looking back at what we started with, Revelation 22:3, just highlighting the points that were highlighted before. His servant shall serve Him. His name shall be in their foreheads. His servant shall have the character of God. His servant shall have the patience of God. What an honor it will be for us to be identified with the character of our great God when Jesus comes again, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. Thank you.